Morning, Talmidim. 2 points that I want to discuss. We'll make it a bit quicker. It's a bit warm in the Beis Medrash. One is an incident that happened yesterday, and I wanted to involve the Talmidim, as many of the Talmidim were involved already. So I want to bring some clarity. And one is a thought on the Parsha. So yesterday there was an incident where a class of Talmidim came to the office to notify that there was a terrible thing that happened. One of our maintenance janitorial staff stole someone's sweater, someone's sweatshirt, and gave it to someone on the street. And they know whose sweatshirt it was. Tom's sweatshirt was stolen, and it was given to... So right away, now self, listen to what happened. We asked the class to go back. We're going to look into it. We called the Talmud that his sweatshirt was stolen. And we had a quick conversation. We called the security department. We did whatever we had to do. As I was going by the walking down the hallway towards dismissal time, I heard a group of Talmidim that were talking about the incident that happened, that someone's sweatshirt was stolen by one of our maintenance staff, and it was given outside to someone. Okay, I went to shul last night to daven Ma'ariv. And in shul, a group of parents approached me, Rabbi Tannenbaum, what's going on? We heard what's happening in yeshiva. I mean, is it a safe place? I mean, that boy's stuff is being stolen and being given out to passerbys. What's the school doing about it? Is there proper security to vet the staff, etc.? Okay, we dealt with that. Come to Night Seder last night. Open up my Gemara. And again, a group of people come over to me, Rabbi Tannenbaum. What, these people are making money off our kids' coats? They're selling their coats to people on the street? Is there a black market going on here? What's happening? How did the school allow something like this to happen? That they could steal just... One person even says, Rabbi Tannenbaum, I have a suggestion. Suggestion. The yeshiva should print labels, clothing labels, that any Talmud that comes to yeshiva with a sweater or a coat, or any you connect the label that it's yeshiva Tiferes Tzvi Talmud label. So it's identifiable. So if you see somebody in the street wearing it, you know that it came from a boy from yeshiva Tiferes Tzvi. I was looking, the yeshiva should print or the parents should print labels? What? No, yeshiva should. Okay. All right, good. So it seemed like that there was a new conversation going on between the incident that happened yesterday. So I want to bring clarity, number one, to what happened yesterday. So we see where the story started and where the story ended. We all know that, Baruch Hashem, we have a nice big yeshiva over here, a nice big yard. It's very noticeable, people that pass by, that this is a school. Just about 2.5 blocks down, there is another school. It's a public school. That public school is called Clinton Public School. During this time of the year, many parents come to register their kids to school. There's been many times where I was standing outside and there were a mother and a kid standing by and they're coming to register their kid to this school. So I said, sorry, this is a private school. This is not you're probably looking for Clinton. Clinton is 2.5 blocks down. And we direct them where to go. They know it's a school in California, and here they don't know the difference between a private school and a public school. So many times we have, whether it's immigrants or it's people from different nationalities come to the school, that they want to bring their kid here, and we direct them to go down the block. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have a lost and found here. It's in the coat closet. And there's Talmidim's coats and sweaters and gloves and all different types of clothing that sits in our coat closet, on the floor. Sometimes it's in the box, sometimes it's out of the box. And Talmidim know if they lose something, they should go to the lost and found to look for it. At a certain point, usually it's by the night of PTA, we notify parents, it's sitting here ready for a while. Please take a look if this is yours. If it's yours, take it home. If it's not yours, okay. We dispose of it. And many times, we may give it to the Chicago Chesed, we'll give it to different organizations. Or we may keep it as a gemach if a boy forgets his coat. So we called over the janitorial staff member that was being accused of stealing clothing and having a black market under the table. And we asked him what happened. So he explained to us. Actually, he came to tell us what happened. He tells us that he was outside. There was a mother and a little girl that came to register their kid here in school. And he right away told them, oh, it's not this building. It's the building down the block. And he saw that this little girl wasn't wearing any sweater or coat or anything. She was freezing. He says she was shivering. It was cold yesterday. So he says, wait one second. Wait one second. He ran in. He went to the lost and found. And he found a sweater that he's been sitting there, that's been sitting there for a while. And he went and he gave her the sweater. He said, here, wear the sweater. Warm yourself up. And he says, I'm sorry. I should have come ask the administration before I did it. But I couldn't see this little girl standing outside in the cold and shivering away. So I just gave her the sweater. Look at Chasdei Umas Ha'olam. You have someone that's not part of our culture. Someone that's not a Yid. His level of Rachmanis for someone that's a little kid outside that is shivering away because they don't have a coat. And he went to get her a coat because he thought about her. Another thing. It's interesting that the way we found out the story was some Tamidim saw through the window or saw this happen. They were able to identify from seeing the window that the sweatshirt that he gave to that was this and this boy's sweatshirt. They knew right away whose sweatshirt it is. Now, the sweatshirt is sitting for a few weeks in the coat room. And no one identified to say, this is this boy's sweater. No one came over to the boy and said, here, you lost your sweater. I see it. It's in the coat room. But when they saw the transaction in the window, him giving away the sweater, that's when everyone hopped. Oh, it's his! We can clarify it afterwards where the misunderstanding was. We'll talk afterwards. But according to what happened over here, we see Tamidim stuff flying around all the time. There are times coats can be here during the winter, during the summer, I still have a jacket hanging in my office from years ago. And every time I tell the Talmud, I know whose it is. I tell, please take it. No, I don't need it. If you know that someone is missing a sweater or a sweatshirt or a jacket, and you're in the coat room almost every day. It's even a place where some people play. And you see someone. So I want to ask one request. We dealt with the maintenance department. We dealt with the security department. The person understands. But then to get ridiculed by Tamidim to say you're a thief, you stole something from someone that's one of our most trusted and devoted staff members is not right. Avad, if you see an issue, if you feel that there's an issue, something that was done that's wrong, you come and notify in a nice way. You come to our hala, you tell us. Yes, then it was another thing, a questionable thing, whether it was right or not. A teacher, the music, a this or that. They came to the office very respectful, in a respectful way, to ask, is it okay? Is it not okay? Not to make a whole bahala, not to make a whole thing that now I'm Jewel trying to have a mirev, trying to open up a gemara and learn. And that's what all of them is talking about. We have to be very careful when it comes to these type of things. Whether the person is from our culture or not from our culture, not to let out a story that could harm, that could do damage. So that's number one. Avada, like I said, it's important to come notify the staff, notify the Anhola, if you have a question, but not to create a whole big scene about it beforehand. So I wanted to go now to this week's parasha. This week's parasha, we see something very interesting in the Rav Moshe Sternbach asks a question. I mean, many asked the question. Vayev, Yitzchak has Esav. Yitzchak liked Esav because he tied with him. Verivka, Havas is Yaakov. Verivka liked Yaakov. It doesn't make sense that a Yitzchak and a Rivka didn't fully understand their kids, Esav and Yaakov, to be able to one like the other, one like the other. What was going on here between them? There was clearly a partnership in the parenting style to see that they feed both kids with what they need, not only with food, but their emotional support as well. They mechanech them together. So what happened over here? And then we see later with the brachas, Bar Chicha B'mirma, that Yaakov Avinu came and Rivka told Yaakov to put on his clothing and take the brachas. if Yitzchak didn't have a mind to give the brachas to Yaakov, if he had a mind to give the brachas to Esav, does it make a difference? It depends on the machshav and the person that's giving the bracha, Rabbi Moshe Sternbach. So if Yitzchak had in mind to give the bracha to Esav, could it be chal on Yaakov? It's a mistake. And he goes into a deeper understanding to understand what happened between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav lived on two different frequencies, to call it. Two different lifestyles. Esav lived in the lifestyle of now. The now. Now, I want pleasure now. I want to enjoy myself now. I want to take care of myself now. Now I'm here, and if I'm here now, I want to make the best out of it. I want to have as most fun as possible. Yaakov lived a different lifestyle. Yaakov understood that the now is an investment for later. The now, living now, is not for now, because if it's for now, then people would live forever. Since people don't live forever, then clearly everything that we do now is for a deeper meaning, for a world to come. So Yaakov's life, Ishtam Yoshiva Holam, was investing and investing again in the world to come, and everything that he did was with the cheshbon of the world to come, not necessarily the now. Yitzchak understood Esav and understood Yaakov, and he felt that if that's Esav, that's how he lived, that's his life, I'm going to feed him. I'm going to make sure that he feels good. I'm going to make sure that he has what he needs, because he can't change that frequency from Esav. Esav is an Esav. Lamaisa, Yaakov is living in a world where, as much as it's beautiful to have to invest for the world to come, but he still has to live in this world. He still has to live in this world. So, in this world, the way it works, in order to live, you have to have money. You have to have there has to be a transaction. You can't go into the grocery store, tell the grocery store, Mitzvah, I'll repay you in Olam Haba. All my investments is now for Olam Haba. You can't say that. You have to come and give money. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yitzchak the ability, yes, I'm going to give brachas to Esav, but a chelik of those brachas have to go for Yaakov, because Yaakov is living in this physical world. Yaakov understood that the money that we're living for is not, the work that we have to do to make money is not the purpose of this world. And the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't repay a person for doing Torah mitzvahs with money is because it's a different frequency. It's a different currency. It's a very different currency. Just thinking. A person sitting and learning, and he earns Olam Haba. Olam Haba, the grocery doesn't take Olam Haba. At the same time, person walks to the grocery and he goes to Kultov and he buys a bunch of things, and his bill comes out $350. $350, not a problem. He goes into his pocket, he pulls out, gives him a $500 Monopoly card. Please give me change. So the grocery person tells him, I'm sorry, sir. This is not a game. You bought products, pay me money. Don't pay me monopoly money. Oh, but that's what I have now. I have monopoly money. He says, sir, so give me back the products, and when you have real money, you'll give it to me. I have nothing to do with the monopoly money. Esav, what he did in this world, his repayment was the equivalent to monopoly money. That's what he got. He got what he needs in this world. None of it helped him for the world to come. Yaakov Avinu, for mitzvah that he does, if you would pay him money for a mitzvah, it's the equivalent of paying Yaakov monopoly money for what he was doing. No mitzvah could be paid with money. So Yaakov's purpose, everything that he did, was for the world to come. Yet, Dr. Moshe Sternbach, Yaakov Avinu needed some money. So Baal Chicha B'Mirma, he says that when a person does business, when a person does work, he has to understand that that's the mirma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu channels some money for him to be able to live in this world. Every person living here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds. Every person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them what they need. The work that we do is the mirma to gain something to be able to pay for whatever we need today. That's not the purpose of our living. That's the mirma that Yaakov Avinu was getting from Yitzchak through taking the brachas from Esau. That's something he should have on this, he should have currency in this world to live in this world. You can look around the world. You see, you have friends, that their parents are in business. You have friends that their parents are in chinuch. You have friends that their parents are in kailu. You have friends that their parents are in between jobs. You have all different types of friends. Yet everybody comes with the shirt, everybody comes with the sneakers, and everybody comes with everything that they need. Everything. And not because one person has nicer than the other doesn't mean that one person has more money than the other. This person likes this taste, this person has that taste. It happens to be that everyone at the end of the day gets fed at home, everybody gets clothed at home. It doesn't make a difference what type of mirma their parents are doing. It's sahakal a way to feed our physical existence today. But it's not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is the Yaakov Avinu. That's what Yaakov Avinu said. Pour down those lentils down my throat. Esav said, pour down the lentils down my throat. Did he like the lentils or did he not like the lentils? If someone likes something, you don't say pour down my throat. You want to taste every bit of it. Esav didn't believe in lentils. Lentils is round. Lentils is when, you know, when someone, Leilenu v'Leilechem, is sitting shiva, you serve something that's round. Why round? To remind that the world comes and goes. Whatever comes around, goes around. Goes around, comes around. It's small. It's, whatever's down is going to be up. Whatever you do to others is coming back to you. There's a whole cycle, a life cycle. Esav didn't believe in that life cycle. He didn't want Nazir Adashim. He wanted steak. Give me a good piece of medium roast steak. Not the Adashim. Adashim had no purpose to him. But someone that doesn't live for this world, someone that lives, understands that the world to come is our main purpose. That person understands that the Adashim is a Musar. Everything that we live, our life is full of understanding the world to come, understanding that it's all an investment. We have to make money, for sure. That's the mirma that we get from Esav, something to be able to feed ourselves. Again, to finish off two points that we discussed. One point is, if there's ever an issue that you feel something is happening wrong in school, please feel free to come. If you feel that something wrong was done, one boy should come and notify the boy that felt that something wrong was done. Don't turn it into a whole classroom thing. Look what happened yesterday, which should have been avoided, but it wasn't avoided, and we can discuss the details later. That's nekuda number one. Nekuda number two, remember what the purpose in life is and what the mirma of in order to exist in today's life is, which will be matzlich.